Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
Welcome to this episode of Music from the Tower. Today I have one of my favorite sopranos in the world, Christina Navarro. Most of you folks out there will know her as Kit Navarro, right? Mm-hmm. Welcome, Christine. It's so good to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me here.
I'm not only glad she's on the show, I'm glad that she's one of our very own Christ Cathedral staff singers. You know, we share her once in a while with Pacific Chorale and LA Disney Hall and opera houses all over the Philippines, but we are happy to have her as a resident person, so we get to enjoy you as a cantor, as a staff singer. It is so great. Your voice is so beautiful. And you're going to hear that voice on today's show, but we're going to find out a lot behind that beautiful voice, what it takes to become one of those beautiful voices. So, Kit, thank you for being with us. It's so good to have you. You are such an amazing singer, and I wish you out in Radio Land could see how teeny tiny she is. She reminds me of my own wife. She's so tiny. She's so small. But she's got a voice that can fill any opera hall, any concert hall. Well, Kit, you come from the Philippines, right?
I was born and raised there.
Yeah. And you did your music training there as well, right?
Yeah. I went to the University of the Philippines, got my bachelor's degree in voice.
As well as a diploma, right?
Yes. A diploma and then a bachelor's degree also.
Yeah, so the first 4 years are the diploma, and then one more year turns it into a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little bit different from our system. Mm. You know, some of our vocalists and instrumentalists, too, I suppose, you know, get a diploma rather than a degree. And I think it just means more advanced study just on your instrument or just on your voice. But it's great you have both. You
know, yes.
Was that common that everybody kind of went that fifth year and got both?
Yeah. Oh, some just get four in case, you know, they become, you know, lazy on the way or, you know, they have to work right away or something like that. It's a matter of choice. It has the bachelor's is more theoretical subjects.
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, other stuff like math and, you know, science also.
But the diploma is really concentrating on your applied art.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then what happened? Did you just stay in the Philippines? Did you go on? Where'd you go from there?
From the Philippines, I went to Switzerland. Actually, I met my husband 2 years after I graduated, and we had to move to Switzerland where he's based. And from there, I auditioned in an opera studio, which is connected to a music school. Like, if you finish your 2 years, then you get a diploma too. And this music school is connected to the music theater. So you have the chance to perform at the music theater also.
Well, and I'm looking at all five pages of your resume, and you had a lot of performances, operas, oratorios, all sorts of things. And so we're going to talk a little bit on today's show about the difference between opera and oratorio, what kind of prep that takes. But let's talk a little bit more about you.
Okay.
Let's talk about how you came to study music in the first place. Were your parents musical? Did you come from a musical family? Did you start out on voice, or did you start on an instrument or piano? Or?
Actually, I think growing up, I was performing already with my mom and my two sisters. My parents are not really musicians, but my mom took voice lessons and piano lessons also when she was younger. My dad could play the harmonica. My sisters could sing too. You know, I remember vividly,
big family?
No, three sisters.
Just
two sisters.
All girls.
All girls.
Oh,
and then my mom would gather us at the living room, and we would like sing Kundiman. You know, Kundiman is a Filipino art song.
Okay.
And she would teach us different voices, so we'll end up harmonizing.
Making harmony.
And then, my dad would play the harmonica also. And we would perform for like, just for fun, not for business, you know.
Like, did you do church groups? Or?
Yeah, all these church groups, church events and parties, you know, something.
Oh,
like
how fun.
Yeah.
Well, they got you going.
Uh-huh.
And so then did you begin to take formal lessons from somewhere else?
And then
outside
from there, I studied at the Philippine High School for the Arts. You have to audition for that one.
Nice.
It was a school, the only school actually funded by the government. You have to audition and you have to maintain a certain average to stay you can...
So you've been a bright, shining star from the very beginning.
I think I was meant to be on that direction, like the performer path.
You know, I thought. Somehow you know it. You know, eventually, I kind of remember somewhere in the middle of high school it sort of clicked that I should really do this.
You know what?
I mean, I like this.
In that school, I was a theater major, not a music major. I was just a member of the chorus, and I had some solos, and our director heard me sing some solos, and she said, why don't you go study with the other voice majors too, you know? So I double majored in my senior year. Yeah, I majored in theater and voice.
Well, and that probably helps with the opera part.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But okay, so we got you through high school there. And did you study an instrument as well as voice?
Yeah. Piano was my minor.
You know? A little bit of piano.
You need that, you know.
Yeah. Every singer needs piano.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's sometimes people say, well, they're singers and then they're musicians, you know. But I think what they mean is, you know, the rigid study of an instrument, you know, really teaches you all that thing. And you could learn all sorts of songs without that kind of formal.
And then you'll use that to, you know, to accompany your students later on when you teach.
Well, exactly. And you certainly do a lot of teaching, and we'll talk about that. So, all right, now you went off to Switzerland. So you met your husband and he took you right away from the Philippines?
Yeah.
Was he in the service? Is that what that was?
He's a computer consultant.
Oh, okay.
But he was in the Philippines. He's also a pilot. He was thinking of, you know, if he could work for Philippine Airlines, but he decided not to. So we went to Switzerland, you know. He went to Switzerland with me. And then there I auditioned and looked for something to do because that won't stop me from singing, you know.
Yeah,
so I had to
exactly.
do something. So. Yeah, and that's it.
Well, and so you got your diploma there, which is, you know, on your way to kind of having a master's degree.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But in applied voice, in very applied voice. But with that came many performances at the theater there.
Yeah.
First, what was the city in Switzerland?
It's called Biel or Bien. Biel in German and then Bien in French.
In French.
It's German,
right on the border.
Yeah, German and French speaking part of Switzerland. So I was able to do comprimario roles, smaller roles first as a student. And then when I graduated, I was considered professional already, and I got to perform, you know, bigger roles.
Yeah.
Got better pay, of course.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
There's no business like show business, so that's good. You know, that's the idea.
Yeah. We toured around, too, you know, our group toured around Switzerland.
So how many more years did you stay there?
About three years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what happened after that?
After that, my husband said, do you want to try the U.S.?
That sounded like a good idea.
Yeah, I like traveling, so it's fine. So okay, let's try the U.S. And then when I got first, I went to the East Coast to Connecticut. I stayed there for 1 year and said, "Oh, too cold here."
That's because you're too little, like my wife, you know.
No more snow. So
no and more then, snow.
Yeah, yeah. We came here to California, and
so one
here.
Just 1 year In Connecticut.
Yeah.
In Stamford, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
You actually sang at a church that I applied for as
the
music
Mary's.
Director. Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah.
I was looking through your resume. I thought, wow, she sang there. Well, they had a magnificent scola of about 20 singers.
Yeah.
And you were part of that, but also helping with the Spanish. Right?
Yes, the Spanish choir.
It was a wonderful parish.
And while I was there, I would go to Juilliard. I studied with somebody from Juilliard, too. Since it's very close. Stamford's very close to New York.
Well, we always love people that studied at Juilliard, don't we? Like our wonderful David Ball. Well, you have a whole list of other voice teachers, some that were in Zurich, some in New York, some all over the place, even some right here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So then you sort of settled here and stayed here?
Yes.
No thoughts of going back to the Philippines?
We'll see if I'm going to retire there. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yes.
I'm enjoying my life here.
No one's listening. It's just the radio. With 50 million listeners, don't worry. The news won't get out. I'm just kidding. But but I know you go often to the Philippines, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that's a big part of your... Do you still have family in the Philippines?
I
your
still
parents?
Have, yeah.
And,
no, my both my parents already passed on, but I still have my sister there and her family and some relatives still.
Oh, nice.
And my friends, you know, my classmates from high
from
school.
From school,
yeah.
So, and you do musical performances when you go there. It's not just a family visit, right?
Yeah. I do some performances there too, yeah.
Yes, and we have some of that music coming up. Well, I think we should, we're tantalizing the audience here with this great history of this amazing artist here. I think we should hear some music.
Cool.
And we're gonna, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between oratorio and opera, but we're going to start really with a piece of sacred music, a movement from the Brahms Requiem. There's a wonderful soprano solo in the middle of the Brahms Requiem. It's the fifth movement, I think. So, and this is you singing just with piano, though.
Yes.
This is not not a live recording from a performance, or is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, just a recorded performance.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But tell us a little bit about this movement. It's in the middle of the Requiem.
Yeah, it was sung by the Virgin Mary. Ihr habt nun Traurigkeit. You're lonely here, you know. So.
Yes, the English translation, sometimes in a pietistic way, is you are now sorrowful, you know. So you never can really get the English translation.
Remember the answer.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a wonderful piece from the Brahms Requiem, and we'll give you a taste of this amazing young artist, Christina Navarro. And you're listening to Music from the Tower, and we will be right back with a whole lot more music. Please stay tuned.
You're listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libra Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
And welcome back. This is Music from the Tower, and today we have soprano extraordinaire here, Christina Navarro, Kit Navarro. Not only does she sing right here at Christ Cathedral, but she is a big wig in the Pacific Chorale. You have sung with them on and off for about 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm, yes. Uh-huh.
And you're in the John Alexander Singers in mm-hmm. the Fancy Group. What do they call that now?
Pacific Chorale Chamber Singers.
Chamber Singers, yeah. Okay. What, it did have John Alexander's name attached to it while he was still the conductor. But now Rob Eystadt has taken the helm, and he's doing amazing work.
Yes, he is.
And we're going to talk a lot about the summer workshop, because you're coming up as one of the soloists, or that as the soloist, really, right? As you were last year as well. You know, that was so beautiful. We're going to talk a lot about that. But you have a whole list of operas here where you have been everything from the chorus to the lead, right? I mean, all the way along. And in every country, everywhere, you know.
I've been, you know, all over
the place. Manila, Switzerland. I mean, when you look at this long list, and then in Los Angeles, here in Orange County, especially when we had our own opera company, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were with them for 3 or 4 years?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But let's talk about the role of opera versus the role of oratorio. Opera means that you're in a costume, that you have to use all your drama training from college.
It's more movement, more and there's use of sets, you know, and props, more dramatic presentation in this.
Well, and a storyline that you've got to deliver.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But you have help.
More interaction.
Because there's props and there's other people.
Yeah.
Other characters.
I love opera, but I also love oratorio. So.
So oratorio is usually a sacred text for those who are listening. And the oratorio, there is no costume. There is no moving around the stage.
Yeah.
If you're one of four soloists, you're one of four soloists standing there or seated in a chair, and there's usually a big chorus. But it's definitely a sacred text, like the Brahms that we just heard, so beautiful, from the Requiem Mass. But other things, most people know the Messiah. That's an oratorio with a whole bunch of sacred texts through the whole life of Christ. Other things that are just parts of the Mass, like the Vivaldi Gloria. We're doing that this Christmas. Christina will have one of the solos, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks for telling me that.
Yes, exactly. Okay. We want you not to be able to say no. No, she'll be singing part of the Vivaldi Gloria right here on our campus on December 14th. You won't want to miss it. But you've done Messiah all over the place. Last year, I heard you in a beautiful performance of Carmina Burana. It was stunning.
Thank you.
It was just stunning. And we're going to play a little bit of that for you later. So stay tuned. Don't go away. The Elijah, that's one of my favorites, oratorios, and that's the whole life of the prophet Elijah. So they're really, somebody was in the studio and said, oratorio sort of began during Lent. You know, and the Pope or the Bishop or somebody didn't want stage performances during Lent, so they just decided they would use sacred text and just do it concert style. So do you have a favorite oratorio and a favorite opera? What's your favorite roles?
Okay, my favorite opera, actually, the ones that I've done, for example, one is The Tales of Hoffman by Offenbach, and I portrayed the role of a doll. I love that role because, you know, first of all, I'm coloratura, and it's, you know, it's for a coloratura soprano with all those stratospheric.
Yeah, stratospheric.
High notes, and it runs and, you know, like that. And I
are we going to hear a little bit of that coming?
Sure.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, you know, because I get to portray myself, like, not human, you know. And then one is also the magic flute, from the magic flute, the Queen of the Night is one of my favorites too. The reason why I like those roles is like, is that you don't have to be on stage the whole time, but once you start singing your aria, your solo aria, boom, that's it.
That's it. Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, you're on.
and everybody else has to just quiet down and listen.
Yeah.
You know, some operas are so dialogic, you know, it's like three or four people singing back and forth and, you know, and then all of a sudden you're all singing, but all different words, all at the same time.
Uh-huh. And you stay there for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And you're there for a long time with nothing to
stage.
Do
or
you've got to think, okay, my hands haven't moved in the last 10
minutes.
But it's, yeah, but when you take a solo like the Queen of the Night, I don't know the Tales of Hoffman role, but when the whole world's focused on you, is that scary? What's that like?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like it. Yeah, it's not scary for me. I mean, I'm so much more, it's more excitement, you know.
Yeah, you memorize things very easily, don't you?
Sort of.
Yeah, because I've seen you up on the stage, you know, and every other soloist in the, whatever it is, even the Carmina Burana role, the baritone was clutching to his book, and you just sang totally from memory.
If I can do it, I would want to do it memorized, you know, so it has something to do with the dramatic effect, you know. I'll have more expression in it if I...
Yes, and you have your hands free then.
And I can interact more with the people.
Yeah.
I can look at the audience. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, you do that so well. If you have not seen Christine in performance, you must do it. We're going to give you some places to go do that. So those are your two favorite opera roles? Nothing else? What about something Puccini with a little... Some composers with the I at the end is what we're looking for here. Puccini, Verdi, you know.
Oh, Italian. Oh, yeah. I can do Musetta, something like that. I've done also some Filipino operas, like the lead roles of from Filipino operas. Like, for example, Noli Me Tangere, which is about the Philippines, how the Philippines was during the Spanish regime. And, yeah, something like that.
I mean, and do you do those when you go? I know you make often frequent trips.
Sometimes some are performed here, actually. Some was composed here.
One
opera was composed here, yeah.
And what language is used when it's in?
This is in Tagalog.
Yes.
Philippine.
How is that to sing? Is that a difficult language in which...
No, actually, Tagalog or Filipino, it sounds like Spanish-Italian. Very easy to say.
So it feels
very
like
open.
A romance language.
Yes,
lots of vowels.
Yeah, lots of vowels. Yeah. Very easy to say, yeah.
Okay. Now, what about oratorios? What are your favorite oratorios?
Of course, the Messiah.
Of course. Everybody, every singer loves to sing the Messiah. I think there's a certain something that you can't get tired of. I could just, you know, I can imagine you singing Rejoice Greatly and all those wonderful arias.
I can just sing that oratorio every year if I can. You know, I mean, I love that oratorio.
Yeah, so does everyone else. You know, and there's a reason why people perform it over and over. It's a wonderful cash cow, you know.
Yeah.
People go, oh, Messiah, I've got to go. You know, you can't miss it. You want to hear it all. Have you done the entire Messiah?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot of singing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, most people think, oh, I went to the Messiah and they heard the Christmas part. But if you hear the whole Messiah, it's like 3 hours. You know? I mean, depending on who's conducting, I suppose. And same with the Elijah. It's huge.
The Messiah also sung differently sometimes, you know, with the rhythm.
Whether it's, you know, the Baroque interpretation you know, people take it differently. I heard one performance of the Messiah in Italy, actually, with the Age of Enlightenment Orchestra. They cut an hour off the time. They went so fast. They had ancient instruments, you know, they could play faster than our modern day. It was amazing. You know, it took on a whole new character. You know, so it does depend
it
on,
you know,
who's driving the bus, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you've been driven by some of the best, you know, John Alexander, and of course now Rob Eystad, but also our own Rick Soto. You've done a lot of performances with the Orange Coast College, right?
That's true.
What are some things that you did with Dr. Soto?
There was Vivaldi's Gloria. I did the Bach Cantata number 51, the Jauchzet Gott.
Oh, yeah.
I did that with him.
Oh, the Dona Nobis Pacem. Did you do that with Dr. Soto as well?
Yep. Oh, the Judas Maccabeus, too. I did that with him. And also with Dr. Sheridan Ball, you know, from Cypress College also, yeah.
Wow, that's great.
I like James Maccabeus.
Those are wonderful pieces.
Yes,
you know, I mean,
for coloratura.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and tell our folks what a coloratura means.
Coloratura. It's a type.
What difference is it between a regular soprano and a coloratura?
Okay, I'm a coloratura soprano. So a coloratura soprano specializes in ornaments, fast runs, like that, than the usual lyric. Although we can also do lyric, but we can also do ornaments. And then it's also good to do your own ornaments, you know. It's like a plus if you can do your own. It's like a skill, too.
Well, and I think people look forward to it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's in the repeat, right?
When the
piece goes back, it's like, oh, what's she going to do?
Yeah, how's she going
to
do?
I think everybody looks forward to that
little
da capo that's called, going back to the beginning, and then seeing what the soprano's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of something like the trumpet shall sound.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about maybe having
Let the bright seraphim.
Let the bright seraphim, you know. have you sing that for our dedication? Coming up
cool.
at the cathedral.
Yeah.
That'd be so beautiful. That's just such a dialogue between the soprano and the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes crazy. So maybe on a future show, we'll have that to play from the institution. Well, there's so many great quotes about you, just wonderful quotes, that you surprise the audience with your stratospheric notes. I love that one. You know, that must have been on one of those da capo arias, right? And that I
the
love
the doll
this.
Aria that I did a high A flat there at the end. Sustained high A flat.
And there was another one here that they're all wonderful, superb performance. I mean, it just goes on. Charisma, all these wonderful words describing you in these roles. But there was one that said, Maria Cristina Navarro sang a mischievous Aldina.
In the opera.
So even though she's little, she can be mischievous.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Well, I think we should hear you sing a little bit of opera. We heard you sing something from the Requiem. Now let's hear something from the Magic Flute.
Oh,
will you tell
cool.
us what that is?
Oh, it's the Vengeance Aria of the Queen of the Night. It's a very popular Vengeance Aria where you hear the many high Fs. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Very popular.
You can tell that she likes those high notes, right?
Yes. And you can tell that Mozart likes coloratura sopranos. Yeah, you can tell.
Well, he's got a good one.
So I like him. I like Mozart.
Well, and she's got a whole Mozart concert coming up. We're going to tell you all about that and a lot more coming up performances for this amazing artist. And so do not go away. We'll be right back. But in the meantime, here's a little Magic Flute. Stay tuned. This is John Romeri and Music from the Tower.
Thank you.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Each school has a full spectrum of education and development in the arts. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
This is Music from the Tower, and we have been listening to a little piece as we came back in this time. Tell us about this. Is this a little Italian art song?
The La Capinera.
Yes.
Yeah, it tells about the birds during spring. You know, remember, once spring starts, you start hearing the birds, like, all that. And
so you have to get a very high soprano to make that, right?
And then this is a duet with a
flute.
Flute, yeah. And the one who played for me here was Tony Maige. He was my schoolmate also from the University of the Philippines, but he also studied in France. And then we got together during the Cultural Center's Filipino artist series. You know, I got invited to sing in that one.
And is that in the Philippines or here in?
That's in the Philippines.
Well, you do a lot of work in the Philippines, mm-hmm. including going back to singing with groups that you were a member of.
Yeah, I was
like
a member
the medical
of,
group.
Yeah, I was a member of the Philippine Medical Singers during my university days. We competed and toured around the world, competed and won first, you know, top prizes in Europe. And now this group is based in the Philippines, and I'm going in September to the Philippines to sing with them and give some.
As a featured soloist,
as a featured soloist, and give a workshop to the trainees and to other people who want. You know,
that's something you really love to do, right?
Yes, I love to teach and you know share my talent and be an inspiration. Like I also liked performing with the outreach programs of different opera companies. For example, I've sung with the opera company outreach programs of LA Opera and Opera Pacific and San Diego Opera. We would sing in schools, you know, perform for children and for those who don't know anything about opera. I think that's a big thing for me. I mean, that's a big thing for me because I inspire people when I do that, you know.
Like absolutely.
There was one time like a student walked to me and said, "When I grow up, I want to be like you." You know, something like that.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it feels so great, you know, when somebody tells you that.
It really does.
Yeah.
And there's something wonderful about just giving away that talent,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's very much like this show. You know, I think people are so fascinated by how a musician came to be what
mm-hmm.
they are,
mm-hmm.
and all the things they're involved in. You know, it's one thing to see you walk out on the stage and go, "Wow, that was wonderful." You walk mm-hmm. off, and that's it.
Yeah.
But to have you here and to hear all about where you went, where you traveled, what you've sung, your favorite things. People love that about,
mm-hmm.
about an artist. I was just recently at a convention, and, you know, every time I go, it seems like now it's just because I'm old, but every time I go somewhere, someone comes up to me, and I don't have a clue who they are. And they'll say, "You were such an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You encouraged me. You told me that I should go into music when you were teaching at this class or that class."
Oh.
And I did. And I've spent my whole life now in this music career.
Wow.
And it's really because of you. You turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just never know
yes.
who you're going to inspire.
That's true. That's
you know, I think it's one of the wonderful things about music, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love that part. And you're probably a born teacher. You're not
mm-hmm.
just a music teacher, though, are you?
Yes. Yes, I'm also a fitness teacher.
Yeah, she teaches Zumba. How about that?
Yeah, besides singing, I also love to dance. Just want to let you know. People will be laughing maybe with you. I love to dance. I love to act. I love to sing. So, yeah.
Well, those are all mm-hmm. perfect combinations for an opera.
They're all related. You know, the arts are all related.
Yes. You know
what I mean?
Can always tell an opera singer
yes.
who's really not a dancer when
uh-huh.
there's a dancing section,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they look so klutzy because
yeah.
they don't have that, you know, it takes a lot of skill to do opera.
Yes.
You know, and so lucky you.
Yeah.
And lucky Zumba students.
Yeah. When I teach Zumba, I feel like I'm also performing. You know what I mean? Like,
It is a performance of sets.
Yeah.
You have to choose the music. You
yeah.
have to choose the moves.
Make sure they're like, what's happening? You know, and that they're bored.
Well, you have two wonderful children
mm-hmm.
that are grown and gone. So obviously you started having children when you were five. You have one son who is in Honolulu.
Yeah.
But your daughter, both of them are kind of musical,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. They both play the piano, and my son was a percussionist in their school band, school orchestra. My daughter is a pianist and a figure skater and a dancer.
A dancer, right. She got that half.
Orange County School of the Arts as a dancer, you know. So, yeah. It's good to know a lot of things, you know what I mean?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, sometimes people think, well, I'm not going to be a musician, so I don't want to go into music.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't matter, does
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have all that musical training,
mm-hmm.
and someday, you know, they'll find themselves
yeah.
doing musical
coming
things.
Back. Yeah.
Or pass it on to their own children.
That's true.
My son became a musician, but my daughter really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she became a nurse, a banker, all these different professions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still in her. You know,
yes.
I see her go to the piano
every now
and then.
You enjoy it more actually now.
Yeah, you know, because there's no teacher over there.
Yes, hovering.
Hovering over, ready to smack their hands.
Yes.
But anyway, well, you love to teach. You love to do all sorts of things. And also your work with the Filipino community.
Yes.
You have a big concert coming up at the Disney Hall with the Southern California group.
That's on August 17th. I'll be performing with the Philippine Chamber Singers, and I'm also one of their featured soloists.
So are there a lot of Filipino groups here in Southern California?
Actually, yeah, in the L.A. LA area, yeah, there are.
It's amazing how many...
You know, Filipinos are known as singers. Yeah, like everybody can sing, you know, and this will be a good concert for all of them. This will be about original Filipino music, we call. Everything Filipino, you know.
Does that mean it's composed there or it's traditional?
Traditional and composed by Filipino composers.
Yeah.
Will be good.
Well, I think we should hear a little bit more music. This time, let's hear a little Puccini, shall we?
Okay.
This is a aria from La Boheme. Tell us about it.
It's La Boheme. This is the part. This is sung by Musetta. Quando mi invo soletta. She's trying to attract the attention of her lover here.
And this is a role you like to play?
Yeah. Also, in a way, it's something different, you know. Each time different.
All right, here's a little Puccini aria. This is Christina Navarro right here in our studio today. And we will be back with more wonderful performances coming up, including an amazing chance to hear her for free, actually, at the Segerstrom Center, right?
Okay, yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. All right, so don't go away. We're going to tell you all about it. This is Christina Navarro singing Puccini from La Boheme.
Thank you for listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libra Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Relevant Radio invites you to the third annual Compostela Campout with Patrick Madrid, August 10th through the 12th at the Santiago Retreat Center, located at the doorstep of the Cleveland National Forest, just 7 minutes from the 241 toll road. Come for the Catholic gathering of the summer. Stay for the fun, the food, the workshops. Just go to the website, SantiagoRetreatCenter.org. That's SantiagoRetreatCenter.org.
I see your face again.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's wonderful show. We're having such a good time.
Yes.
This is John Romero, but we have Christina Navarro here. And I'm just in the break. I was hearing all about her traveling now to the Philippines. I'm actually finding out on air that she's going to miss the first rehearsal
yes.
of the year.
Just now.
She's trying to sneak these things in.
Yes.
But
I was planning to tell you after.
Sure. But you're off to the Philippines for 3 weeks of
yes.
performances,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
At your university.
Yeah, I'll be performing at the alumni homecoming of the University of the Philippines on the first week. And then I'll be performing with the University of the Philippines Magical Singers that I've sang.
That you were a member of.
Yeah, I was
now
a member
you're
of.
Their featured soloist.
Yeah, I'll be a featured soloist with them. And then I'll be also giving a workshop for the trainees and whoever wants to, you know, to learn more about vocal technique.
Vocal techniques
and then
singing.
I'll be doing an outreach also, like, concerts outside Manila.
So they're traveling
cities.
Around to other cities.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 3 whole weeks, huh?
Yes.
How many rehearsals is that?
I'm just going to miss one rehearsal, oh,
okay.
Dr. Romero.
She's just
one
missing
rehearsal
one.
And one tour, one mass.
Oh, and it's getting worse.
Yes.
Wait a minute here.
Just 1 week.
Well, it's okay. When you're mm-hmm. an artist of renown, we know we have to lose you once in a while. You just received an award from the Philippine community
yeah.
here in Southern California. Tell us about that.
Okay. We have what we call the Filipino Artist, Philippine American Symphony Orchestra, which is the only orchestra outside the Philippines.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's composed of Filipino instrumentalists.
Who live in this country.
Who live in Southern California. And they are now in their 10th year.
And where do they perform?
Mostly LA area, and also San Diego, you know, around.
Okay.
Mostly for Filipino communities and, you know, not also. And
have you sung with them?
Yes, I've sung with them during their second year. Like Christmas in a Christmas program.
Yeah, yeah.
I've sang the Queen of the Night and Oh Holy Night. You know, with them, yeah.
Well, there's an interesting combination: the Queen of the Night and Oh Holy Night.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah, and then I got an award for this Excellence in Music Award.
And was that just this past year?
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations!
Thank
That's
you.
Fabulous.
You know, for your contribution to the Filipino community and your artistic, you know,
of course,
abilities and things like that.
Well, and doing it here in this country and. In the Philippines, it's a big deal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
I'm sure you're very proud to go back and
yeah.
represent, your
yeah.
work here
mm-hmm.
To them in Manila. That's fabulous. Well, you do a lot of work with our own Pacific Chorale,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's coming up now, mm-hmm. is that in the summer, Pacific Chorale has this workshop where they bring singers,
yeah.
not necessarily even members, but you could be a member of
mm-hmm.
the Pacific
yeah,
Chorale.
Yeah, there are some members.
There are some members, but also people just from normal church choirs or just
mm-hmm.
people that love to sing. They
yeah.
can sign up for this,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and normally it's composed of like 400 singers from different, you know, choir communities.
Not
yeah.
just the choir area
mm-hmm.
in the Seeker's Room,
it
but
also,
it fills half the stage.
Yes,
right?
yeah,
yeah,
it's so fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I attended, and it was my first time, but it was fabulous. They did just a wonderful job. They're only together like 2 or 3 days.
Yes, that's
they
true.
Have to come knowing
rehearsal.
The music, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And they did all of Carmina Burana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure Rob Eisstadt was just working his brains out.
Yes.
And there was the 2 piano version. The pianists were just killing themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One was one was our
David,
friend
David Clemenson.
Yes, and Junga.
And Junga, yeah.
Yeah, they were both just playing more notes than God
yes.
created.
Yes.
But it kept it all going. It was so
mm-hmm.
beautiful. And then at the end, out came this amazing soprano, our very own Christina. We were so proud to see you there. And you sang almost all from memory, and you just sang the heck out of that piece.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fabulous. You know, I've heard that piece so many times, and oh, the sopranos are wonderful or fine, but you were outstanding. It was just
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Oh, it was just it was so beautiful. Not just that I'm a little partial, but it was really, really great. And so this year's concert is all Mozart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't know Carmina Burana and Carl Orff, but this concert really could be for anybody mm-hmm. who just loves Mozart.
Yes.
So you're doing the whole Vespers.
The whole Vespers,
of Confession.
And
in that piece, there's a wonderful soprano aria, the Laudate.
Yes, the Laudate Domini.
Everybody, even if you don't know the whole work, knows that beautiful Laudate Domini.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll sing that so beautiful. I bet you'll sing it from memory, is my guess.
Yeah, I will sing it from memory.
I knew it. And then you're also doing the Alleluia from Exultate
Jubilate.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful one. That's for, mm-hmm. that's a great soaring piece.
Yes.
The soprano gets to go.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
You'll have a ton of fun with that.
Yeah.
But that's all with this workshop choir.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is in the Segerstrom Center. And for the singers, they have to pay a little bit to get the training and buy their books. But mm-hmm. for the audience, it's absolutely free.
Yes.
So if you have not been in the Segerstrom Center, here's a chance to hear a choir with 400 singers
mm-hmm.
and Christina Navarro.
One of them.
And they get to go to that beautiful hall for absolutely nothing. But they do have to reserve their ticket.
Yes,
right?
They have to get it online or, you know, on the ticket services.
Yes.
You can call the ticket services also.
From the Segerstrom
Center
for the Arts. So be sure to do that, folks out mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, because they really ran out, too.
Yeah, they do. Christina's getting me mine.
Yeah.
And I'm racing to the airport. I'm taking the all-night red-eye, but I'm staying just long enough to hear Christine sing this beautiful song. And they're also doing other Mozart pieces, the Ave
Verum Corpus.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So Rob will have a great couple of days with these people, mm-hmm. fine-tuning these pieces.
Yes.
And then how exciting for them.
Mm-hmm.
To get to sing this music with a great soloist like Christina Navarro. So you have other things coming up. We mentioned your Disney Hall performance, but let's say it again. It's August 17th.
August 17th at 8
and
o'clock.
Are there tickets for that performance?
Yeah.
So for that, they need to call the Disney Hall and get their tickets.
Get them at the box office or call.
And that's a performance with the
Philippine Chamber Singers.
Of Los Angeles.
LA, uh-huh,
yes.
Los Angeles.
And you're doing solo work with them?
Yeah, I'm going to do a solo too. And I'm going to sing also with them.
With the group?
Join. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good. And then, of course, we also mentioned already, but December 14th, we're doing, as part of our Christmas at the Cathedral concert, we're doing Vivaldi Gloria. And certainly Christine will be soaring on some Vivaldi right here at Christ Cathedral. This will be our last Christmas at the Cathedral in the Arboretum. By next Christmas, we will be in the cathedral itself. So we'll have to come up with something really snazzy for you to soar, soar with at that in that cathedral. So you've got concerts coming up in September, taking time away from choir in the Philippines. So you've got lots coming up.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities to go out there and hear mm-hmm. Christina in live performance. And you know that's one of the things we stress here. You could buy her CD. You could listen to her here on the studio. But to hear her in live performance, there is nothing like it. I was so thrilled last year at the Carmina Burana. I know you will be hearing her do some Mozart in the Segerstrom Center this year, but just as we end now, we're going to hear a little bit of Carmina Burana. This is the 17th movement, right?
There's 17. Yeah.
All these movements are tiny, but this is the 17th movement, and this is where you really go soaring, isn't it?
Yeah, with high D.
Yes. Can you tell us the text of this section?
I'm just doing,
Yes, you're just soaring above the whole group. It's just fabulous. So here's a little taste of what you might hear if you go to that August 12th performance. And, of course, so you can hear her every Sunday right here at Christ Cathedral at 9:30. Come to our church or watch our videos of the 9:30 Mass every week.
Yeah.
Christina is a frequent cantor here. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. It's
so
pleasure.
Fun to have you.
Yeah.
It's just such a treat to have you in our choir right here at Christ Cathedral. What a thrill for all of us. And last year, we should say, at last year's Christmas of the Cathedral, you did the Rutter Magnificat, both solos, the soprano solos. Oh my gosh, they were so beautiful. Even it inspired a friend of mine. I played the recording for him and he goes, I want to do that piece. I go, well, you can't have Christina, but you can do that piece. All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us. My friends out there in Radio Land, get out there and hear some live performance. And there are several chances to go hear wonderful soprano Christina Navarro. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you
for listening today. And we will see you at the next episode of Music from the Tower. You've been listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio. Thanks for listening.